Is it me or is this deja vu all over again?
Thank you. I didn't know what to push. I'm like, all of a sudden, I've been in here training for two nights and all of a sudden I froze. Well, how about that? You know where to go when you need a friend. Just tune that radio
to WGN. That's right. We had so many requests from people saying, would you please play the Bob Young theme?
Yeah, and hi to Dave in Monroe, Wisconsin, welcoming us in.
Hey, Dave.
Jerry in Aurora. A listener, Lynn, says, I'm getting all teary listening to the song. Lynn, it's supposed to make you feel good.
Yeah, it's a
fun little ditty that you all know the lyrics to. And for people who say, well, gee, it's an awfully long song, that was because it was a song that we needed to set up the studio as Milt Rosenberg was leaving the studio.
For those of you who remember the old WGN radio studios, literally, it was a huge studio, but we were in half of it. Milt was in the other half of it. Milt would finish up with his guests, but then Milt would take about the next, 10 to 20 minutes talking with his guests post-show, and we needed to kind of say, Milt? Hello, Milt?
We're over here.
We're kind of ready to go on now.
We were guilty of doing that just a few minutes ago as we were saying goodbye to Patty, and Andrea is doing her thing, but she's the consummate professional. She was able to just continue on doing her news while we're over in the corner hugging and laughing.
So we need to start our show with an apology to Andrea. Sorry, Andrea.
What a treat to have her with us, too, tonight.
How cool.
Yeah. Right off the bat, let us just say that this is not an audition for this time slot.
No, and thank you very much for those of you who have been saying, oh, gee, wait, does this mean you guys are going to come back full time? I will be very candid, and I believe we feel the same way on this. While we very rarely use the word never, trust us. We're enjoying our lives a lot right now. We're doing what we want to do, when we want to do it. And as I mentioned to Rob Feeder the other day, if now and then the planets align and WGN Radio wants us to come in and hang out for a night or two, and if it works out with our schedule, yeah, that's fun.
But New Year's Eve. I want New Year's Eve. I'm asking for that right now.
In fact, they've told us that they want us back here for New Year's Eve, and they've also said that since we're up on the 18th floor of the 303 East Wacker Building, we should be able to see to look down on some of the fireworks.
Right, over at Navy Pier.
But to finish your original thought, we have less than zero desire to commit to a 5-night-a-week or 5-day-a-week or 5-anything-a-week, anything.
This is true.
We're having a good time. And
I'm sleeping at night. Steve is not. That hasn't changed. But you know what? That's how you were when you were 7. So it's not going to change all those years later. You were in your element when we were working nights from 11 to 5 in the morning. You were happiest. I, on the other hand, I sacrificed my beauty sleep. That's why you have this.
hey.
I'm demonstrating this. Always looking just a wee bit tired. So
No, this looks very pretty to me. And it
Thank
says.
You.
But one of the interesting things, we were going over some old pictures.
Oh, yes.
And we have been amazed to look at pictures of either one of us that were taken back in the 80s, 90s, 2000s. Oh, boy, do we look tired.
It's
because
sad.
We were tired. Yeah.
Well, we are honored to be back here tonight. This is the first, quote, night side show. That's what it's being called, this 11 to 1 a.m. chunk of time. And it's going to be ever-changing, so you need to tune in regularly to see what's going on here. When Patty and Andrea are not doing a baseball game. If the White Sox are not playing, they will be doing their show as they did tonight from 7 to 11. And then that opens up the night side from 11 to 1 a.m. And then Nick comes in an hour earlier now at 1 a.m.
And every now and then we'll probably wind up falling back in here. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be... I think Elton Jim is going to be in here at some
point.
He
is. Next Wednesday he will be here. If that's the 28th, whatever the 28th is, he will be here next week for the first night that there's no baseball game. So it looks like Patty and Andre are going to be in flux for a while. They hope until October, because that would mean that the Sox are going to go into October.
Hey.
Excuse me. Never mind.
By the way, the Cubs won today. Well, good for the Cubs. See, I am that rare person that actually I can root for both teams. Although, if push comes to shove,
I know.
I'm a Southsider.
You're the man in black.
Yeah.
Always will be.
And your point is?
And we have a mixed marriage, and we have for 34 years. Yeah. 34 years, North Side girl, South Side guy.
By the way, that laugh that you may have heard in the background, that is Adam Phillips, who is nice enough to do a check ride with us tonight.
No, actually, he's just standing in the window looking out to see what can be seen over there.
Adam's been having fun checking out some of the things that are going on. The architecture.
That's what he's interested in.
Well, technically, you're checking out these shapes.
Yes.
Yeah. that can be seen from here. And there are some interesting shapes.
Yes.
Well, phone number is 312-981-7200. That's for phone calls, for texts. And we're going to have some time to just hang out and talk. We're also, since this is a Wednesday night, and those of you that have been longtime listeners know that there used to be such a thing as Website Wednesday Night.
For so long.
We're going to revisit a portion of that with the man who was the Cyber Squad chief for us for many, many years, Patrick Crispin.
Who is now Dr. Patrick Crispin.
Yes.
You'll have to say it like that, Dr. Patrick Crispin.
By the way, if every now and then, if I pause, this is reminding me so much of Talk Radio, the Eric Bogosian movie. Just being able to look at the city from this viewpoint. Now, I know that we did the Showcase Studio, Michigan Avenue, street level. There's a different vibe to being up here.
We don't see people.
Well
you
is
do.
That.
But
if we do.
But not quite the same way. Never mind. And people get to see us, too.
Long, tall Texan.
we are streaming, aren't we? We are streaming, right?
I think we are.
Yes.
Although, why isn't it? I just punched up I have to hit the play thing on WGN Radio streaming. So if you are listening to us from wherever, go to WGNradio.com. You can click on live stream or watch, and you'll be able to see what we're doing.
You know, tying this in with Website Wednesday night, I actually recall the first call that we got from someone who was listening to us in another country, and she was listening to us. I wish I could remember the city. But it was a city that had a lot of sheep, because she said, I'm sitting here having coffee and I'm looking out on the mountainside where there's sheep all over the mountain.
Yeah.
And she said, and I'm listening to you. I'm listening back home. And then right after that, a guy called from Jerusalem and he was listening. And that was so exciting.
Well, was that Andrea from Germany?
It might have been. Yes. It might have been. And then it followed with the guy who was a Chicagoan from Rogers Park, who was now living, or was then living in a kibbutz.
Yeah.
And he would wake every morning and turn on the computer so he could find out what the weather was like back home for his family, which was really cool.
By the way, I'm hearing voices in my ear.
Oh, are you?
Or at least one voice, and that belongs to our producer, Tom. Say hi.
Hi, Tom.
There we go. I think that should do it.
That should do it. And what did you say, Tom? What is our next instruction?
Our next instruction is to take a quick break.
Okay.
And do a little commercial stuff.
All right. Sounds good.
When we met, I was pretty well set in my ways. I didn't care how or where I spent my day. But now that all has changed, I never want.
wanna be the same. Love you so that all I know is I don't wanna be without you, baby, like before.
So one of the things that we have enjoyed doing, baby, since we stopped practicing Life After Dark on the radio, is actually occasionally practicing some Life After Dark. And one of the places we have been known to hang out after dark is a terrific club up in Evanston. It's called Space.
Space in Evanston. Dave Spector does a wonderful job. The booking policy is outstanding because there's something for everyone up there. Yeah. And it's a listening room. People
exactly.
go to listen to music. And we had the good fortune to, this guy you're listening to, James Hunter, we saw him and his whole band in that venue. I mean, you could...
One of the absolute best shows we've ever seen.
He could sweat on you. He was so close. And everybody was hanging on to every word. And yet this guy in Great Britain plays to, you know, 15,000 people.
Yeah.
And here he was in this intimate club. What a treat. This is one of our favorite albums of the year. And this is one of the things that we miss about doing this show, is turning you on to new music. And this is a great CD.
In fact, this is his latest album. It's called Whatever It Takes, the James Hunter Six. If you want some really good old-school R&B soul, that's what James Hunter is all about. And he's not trying to lampoon anybody. He's doing the real deal.
Absolutely. Mm.
So that
seems wrong to talk over him, but at least we got to play a little James Hunter on the radio.
Yeah.
So there.
But now, for those of you who, as we said earlier, for those of you who listened for years and you were checking us out on Wednesday night, it would, of course, be Website Wednesday night. And on Website Wednesday night, we would talk computers. And the group that we had together, we called them the Cyber Squad. And the head of our Cyber Squad was when we first met him, we met him through an article in USA Today when they described him as being an internet mythologist, and we found out at that point in his universe he was a student at the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa. He's gone on to a few better things since that.
His business card, I like to say, is a trifold business card, because he is the Assistant Professor of Clinical Medical Education, Director of Educational Technology, Director of the Center for Innovative Medical Education and Technology at the Keck School of Medicine of USC on the West Coast. And he is the one and only Dr. Patrick Crispin.
Hey, Patrick.
Hi, Patrick. Ooh,
how are you all doing?
Where's the buzz? We missed the hum on the phone line.
Hey, unfortunately, I'm in Rancho Cucamonga and not Tuscaloosa. I know that Tuscaloosa had just the worst telecommunications known to man, so we even have this hideous buzz on the telephone.
Oh, but, and I remember you called.
It's a little better here.
You called the phone company and it got worse. You called them and told them you're doing a radio show and could they improve it? And it was actually louder that night.
I think their attitude was,
we'll show him.
Yeah, we'll give you a radio show. How many years did we do Website Wednesday night, Patrick?
I think it was 14.
It was 14 years, yes. And you were there with us from the beginning, back in the days when we had a boss who said to us, why are you talking about computers? No one cares.
And the only people that were talking about computers were the two of us and Spike Odell.
Yes.
And this one boss said, no, nobody cares about computers.
Just leave it alone. She's not in radio anymore.
Yeah. Well,
or management, for that matter.
But what we're going to do is kind of, for a little bit, old school Website Wednesday night. And the mantra of Website Wednesday night is,
there's no such thing as a dumb computer question.
So if you got a problem with your confuser, 981-7200. And,
area code 312.
Yes.
And you can text us as well. And we don't have all night. We used to do this all night.
We don't have all night, so
right,
make it quick.
Right, Patrick? We'd get warmed up, and next thing you know, it'd be the middle of the night. And
We do like a 30-minute call, and you say, okay, it could be this, it could be that. Now,
but it was helpful to everybody else.
Those 30-minute calls were basically us just trying to figure out what the answers were.
Exactly.
We had no idea what the answers were.
Because as we said,
I have not done this in so long that I guarantee you I'm not going to be able to answer a single question tonight.
I seriously doubt that. Oh, and Patrick is going to tell us about this incredible opportunity he has coming up, because I never thought I would hear this come out of my mouth, but Patrick is going to Mongolia
going to Mongolia
for his job.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. I don't think either of us ever thought we would say our friend is going to Mongolia. What?
And give us the mini version of what you're going to do in Mongolia.
The Children's Hospital in Los Angeles has a partnership with the Children's Hospital in Ulaanbaatar, and it's the capital of the country.
They call that
UB, don't they? They actually really want to broadcast to the remote areas of Mongolia the latest generation of what's going on in pediatric medicine. And my job is to go over and help design the instructional design for that program.
That's amazing. And yet you're going to be doing all of that in English, right?
Yes.
I mean, you're not going to learn how to speak Mongolian before October rolls around.
No. And in my mind, Mongolia and Wi-Fi, that's kind of an oxymoron. I'm sorry.
Not so much. They really do have really good infrastructure out there. Yeah. They kind of, as we were talking, they jumped over the plain old telephone system and went straight to Wi-Fi. So it's actually pretty advanced.
So prior to this, they had no telecommunications?
They didn't have much.
Wow.
See, what you're doing, Steve, is you're going back to the days when we used to interview Colin McMahon from the Chicago Tribune. And Colin was over in Russia. And I'll never forget the day that he told us that we were sitting down in front of computers that were the equivalent of the computers that the Russians were sending into space.
Oh, he said they were actually better.
Yeah.
They were more high-tech because he said than what the Russians had sent into space.
He said they were so far behind over there. So I get the feeling that things have changed quite a bit in other European countries.
Tom is about to hit me if we don't do a commercial break. I can feel him breathing heavily.
Can you now? I was enjoying that for a minute there. All right, Dr. Crispin, if you will sit tight, we'll come back in a few. And if you at home have a quick question on Website Wednesday Night, this is the mini version of Website Wednesday Night. We're 312-981-7200.
That's a little bit of old school Website Wednesday Night. We had to do that. It's Bob Young, who was nice enough to do a ton of our themes, and that was the Website Wednesday Night theme that we used for years and years and years.
And to answer the question that was texted to us at 312-981-7200, what's Bob Young up to? Sadly, Bob Young passed away a few years ago.
Yeah.
And what a talent. Oh, my gosh.
Boy.
What a fun guy. And every song that he ever did for us or for the radio station, like the WGN song, everything was done by Bob. Every instrument was played by him.
Yep.
He recorded it. I mean, it was so sad.
He really was a genius.
He was, yeah. But thank goodness the WGN song was purchased from him before he passed away.
Yeah.
And that was a real thrill for him because he was such a big GN fan.
Yeah.
Well, we are doing a mini version of Website Wednesday Night with Johnny. By the way, for those of you who are new to this, I know we look the same on the radio, but I would be the Johnny part.
And therefore, I play the part of Steve.
And we did this for about 14 and a half years. On Wednesday night, we would talk about computers with a cyber squad. And Dr. Patrick Crispin, who was student Patrick Crispin back in those days, would join us and answer questions. And we're going to sneak in some of those questions tonight. And we're going to talk about the biggest news in technology since we last did a website Wednesday night.
So if you have a computer question, and again, there is no such thing as a dumb computer question, 312-981-7200. It doesn't matter, Mac, PC, whatever. You got a problem, and you...
You're Patrick going, no, I'm in education now. And whoever thought that we would be doing this again, number one, number two, but doing this with a guy who is not only a doctor, but a dad, something that
yes.
had not happened when we were doing yes. Website Wednesday night, and going to Mongolia. So I won't let you live that down. And soon to be moving to Pasadena, where he will actually be able to sit on his balcony and watch the Rose Bowl parade. Hello.
I'm so looking forward to that.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, we're going to take a question or two for Patrick, and then we are going to talk about some of the really cool stuff that's happened in technology in the short period of time since we did Website Wednesday night.
And I am going to ask, here's a behind-the-scenes question for Adam. Adam, do I need to do anything as I'm going to the other callers to make sure that they don't go away, or that Patrick doesn't go away when I punch up the other caller? Or because he's on a different bank, I just punch it up and...
All of this is new to us.
Okay. So here we go. And on this line
would this be Tom? Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you? Boy, I'm glad to hear your voices again. I miss you guys.
Well, thank you, Tom. Nice to have you here with Patrick Crispin, Dr. Crispin on Website Wednesday night. What's your question for Patrick?
Well, I've had a Mac tower for many years, but it's got kind of kaput. You can't update it anymore. And so I'm looking to get something new. And I'm thinking of switching, though, to a PC just because of cost. And someone suggested I look into Lenovo laptops. What would you think about Lenovo?
I absolutely adore the Lenovo laptops. And it really kind of depends on what you want to do with it. The Lenovo ThinkPad 480S, the best way I can describe it is it's the Toyota Corolla of laptops. In other words, they're everywhere. They are, businesses buy them. No one's ever been fired for buying Lenovo because they just darn well work. You're going to spend about $1,300 for that. If you're looking for a two-in-one, in other words, something that's sort of a laptop, but then you can flip the screen over and turn it into a tablet, Lenovo has something I think they call the Yoga. And the Yoga 920 is about $1,100. Although between you, me, and the fence post, if I were to go in out and buy a Lenovo right now, if I didn't get the T480S, I'd be looking at the X1 Carbon Generation 6, the new ones.
Wow.
That is a sexy, sexy computer.
That's what I want my computer to be sexy.
No, I will warn you, it starts at $1,200, and as you add bells and whistles to it, it's going to get spendy.
Define spendy.
Wonderful laptops. I recommend it.
Are you talking like $1,500, $1,600?
Yeah, that's really the max.
If it's $1,200, it could go over to $2,000, $3,000.
Yeah, but you guys...
Depending on what you get into it.
Patrick, remember when we first started doing Website Wednesday night, you could barely buy a laptop for less than $2,000. A decent laptop.
Exactly.
And remember how heavy they were? Because we would travel with ours, yeah. And you try to put it in the overhead, and you'd like take both hands to hoist it up there in the overhead.
That's why I like the Carbon, the X1 Carbon. It weighs like a feather.
Really?
One other thing, Tom. My recommendation, think very, very strongly when you go over to the Windows operating system. You need to get an enterprise-level antivirus program. I'm a big fan of Sophos Home. There's actually a Sophos Professional version that offers all the stuff that's in the Sophos Home, which is free, but also does advanced ransomware detection and protection and privacy protection and offer support. That's $50 a year. You'll need to add to the price of the laptop.
And let me add that due to one of the recommendations that Patrick had, we're using Sophos Home on one of our laptops, and it's terrific.
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah. The Sophos Home is absolutely free. It's SOPHOS.com. And they give it away because Sophos is the company that a lot of major companies just buy the software for their workers. And they say, well, we want to protect the home computers as well. And the company said, yeah, why not? We'll give it away for free.
Cool.
Sophos Home Premium is $50 a year.
Now, Tom, let me jump in with one other thing. If you are migrating from Mac to PC.
Yes, that's my concern. How am I going to transfer some things over? It's mostly just photographs, not too many documents at all.
Well, there's that, and Patrick will address that in a second. But one of the things that I've been concerned with is Windows 10. I'm not a huge fan of Windows 10 for one reason. They want to store everything in the cloud. Now, Patrick, correct me if I'm wrong. You can, when you get a computer, before you ever connect it to the internet, you can go in and you can tweak some settings so that Windows 10 will not be sharing all of your financial and other stuff with, quote, the cloud. So there are ways to do that. Am I right, Patrick?
Yes. Yeah, you can, before you go put any intellectual property onto your laptop, decide the settings on it. But Steve obviously doesn't like storing stuff on the cloud. I will tell you that Microsoft's cloud is very, very secure. They're a major cloud company. But again, there are people who do not like having anything on the cloud, and I can understand that. Unfortunately, it's built into the operating system when you set it up. And there are actually some tutorials out there that will talk you through this.
Good question, Tom. Good luck to you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye now.
I believe the voice in my head is about to tell me that we need to take a break.
Let
me make that go away.
Okay. Okay. Look, 45 minutes into the...
There we go. Everything has been absolutely perfect up to this point.
We'll take a quick break and come back on this mini version of Website Wednesday Night.
I don't understand it, but I like it.
It's Mongolian.
Tom, what the heck is that? I like that.
It is, isn't it, Tom? It's Mongolian music.
It is not Mongolian music.
Oh, doggone.
It's Kraftwerk.
Oh, of course it is.
A little digital music for you.
That's great. Patrick, we've opened up Pandora's box. The texts that are coming in, please spell that antivirus again. S-O-P-H-O-S. Correct?
Yep.
And that's pronounced Sophos.
Yeah.
S-O-P-H-O-S. And it's... You're spitting all over me. A texter wants to know if that would be a conflict if you had Microsoft antivirus on your computer.
Yes, you would want to disable Microsoft antivirus and use Sophos. It's actually a little more powerful. Although I will tell you, the Microsoft antivirus is really, really good. That's one of the big changes since when we were last on the air.
Yes.
They're actually making a usable antivirus.
Yeah, it's built into the operating system. It's really good. There are better ones, but it's good.
This is a good question from a 708 area code. Said, Patrick, by the way, it's a hoot to hear you, and what a blessing to have you guys on the radio. Thank you very much. Would you please ask Patrick the best way to do passwords? Is there an app or a tool for that?
There are password managers out there. I'm a big fan of LastPass. You pay a fee for it, and then it actually remembers all your passwords. So what you do is you create a master password for LastPass, and it's a very long, complex. My recommendation is a pass sentence. Don't do a password or a passphrase, but a pass sentence, like the University of Alabama is the best football team in the world. And that would be your pass
Roll
sentence
tide.
That you would never tell anybody.
Right.
And then you can actually have LastPass create new passwords for you at every site. So it's actually where you don't need to know your passwords. It fills it in for you, and you don't even need to know what they are.
Wow. That's a little spooky, but...
Oh, it's great.
It works. And I've said, I'm going to be partly personal here for a moment. I have said to Steve so many times in recent years, honey, I pray nothing ever happens to you because I know I will never be able to sign on to certain accounts and email.
Well, let me first of all say I think Patrick absolutely has the right idea. Having said that, I will tell you what we do. I'm not going to give away any passwords, but...
Thanks.
For example... If I were to come up with a password, I would write down the things. For example, my first car or year, first car year.
First address.
First address.
Dog's name.
Dog, something like that. So in that case, my first car was a 59 Chevy Biscayne. So it would be 5'9", then whatever my first address was, and then...
But I've realized that there's so much about you that I don't know, because when you tell me that these are the clues, I'm like, what? Okay, yes. Help me here. But that's a great suggestion. And a lot of folks are saying, too, that they want to go back to the name of that computer that you told Tom about. So if you would repeat that for them.
Yeah, it's the Lenovo ThinkPad 480S it's the utilitarian car that you just don't have to worry about. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's $1,300. I'm a big fan of the X1 Carbon, also the Lenovo, and that's a little more fancy. It's a little lighter weight.
Well, we said that we wanted to get you on the radio to do a kind of a recap of some of the really exciting technological things that have happened since we last did a Website Wednesday night. So off the top, you said, oh, that's really cool. There's so much.
And to give a time frame for those of you who may be new to us, our last full-time show on WGN was December of 2012. So
right.
In the years that have passed, I'm sorry, December 2011.
2011.
So in the years that have passed since then, what have been the biggest technological advances in your mind?
I can think of two. One is the rise of personal assistants and smart speakers. When you left the air, Apple Siri had just come out. Google was releasing the Google Now app on phones in 2012. Microsoft did Cortana in 2014. So these started out as apps on your phone, and you would speak to them natural language, and they'd be able to speak back to you. And now that's kind of migrated to these smart home speakers. Amazon Alexa has one. Google is a Google Home. And there are apps that will do that. And what's really great about it is seeing how it's enabling a lot of people to access information more readily in their lives just by talking to a box. And case in point, Joseph, my son, when he was 18 months old, wasn't speaking at all. He had not said any words at all. But we have a Google Home, and we used it to basically play animal noises. And he just thought that was the greatest thing. We did it night after night after night. And after about 18 months, his first word, and I'm not making this up, was Google.
It was so sweet to see the video.
We have a video of that we should post.
And he was softly saying, Google. And having not heard a word out of this boy to see. And, of course, there were the trolls and the idiots of the world who said, oh, yeah, you work for Google, right, Mr. Crispin?
I wish I worked for Google.
We do, too. But that was so sweet. I mean, that was amazing. Maybe we could make that video available so that people could see when Joey said his first word was Google.
His first word was Google. Yeah. The other thing that's really changed since you guys were on the air, streaming videos have been around for a long time. Netflix started streaming content to viewers back, I think it was 2007. Mm-hmm. But original streaming content started with House of Cards in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix is now they've promised to do 80 original movies debuting this year on Netflix.
Wow.
You have Amazon Prime doing things like Man in the High Castle. And it's getting to the point where, long time ago, if you wanted to go and watch movies or whatever, you would have to either get the disc or you'd have to pay for cable. A lot of people are now cutting the cord and just saying, okay, I'm just going to go stream from the online services. And it's been a big change. Part of that has to do with the number of Wi-Fi networks. When you guys were on the air last, there are about 60 million Wi-Fi networks in the world. There's now like 500 million Wi-Fi networks out there.
Wow.
And counting.
And yeah. And everybody now has at least one device. Most people are showing up at colleges with three. And the amount of time that we spend online each day from 2011 until now has jumped from 3.7 to 5.9 hours.
Wow.
So we are now much more tethered to our computers because we can be. And mobile video viewing has also really gone up from less than 5 minutes a day to over 30 minutes a day. So
And that's what's seeing, that's what's causing all the mergers and acquisitions with AT&T, Time Warner, and now Disney and Comcast fighting for Fox is people realize, oh, wait a minute, we need content.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
If we're going to go up against Amazon and go up against Netflix, we need movies.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's really exciting, too.
The voice in my head just said, let's take a break whenever Patrick wraps up this thought, and I'm not going to argue with the voice in my head, so let's take a break. This has gone by way too fast, a mini version of Website Wednesday Night with Patrick Crispin. Patrick, thank you so much for doing this.
Patrick,
happy to do it. Have a blessed night.
Thank you. And just think that this is show number 6,235, and you did hundreds of those with us. And I think we still got it, Patrick. Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Thanks a lot, Patrick. Patrick Crispin, who is with us for...
Dr.
Patrick Crispin, who was with us for many, many years on Website Wednesday Night. And speaking of Website Wednesday Night and other things, for some people that have been texting, we should probably recap a little bit of who the heck we are and why we're here. We'll get to that out of the news.
Yes.
And we also have some another special guest who will be joining us that was one of our regulars.
We've got about 3 hours of programming to squeeze into the next hour, around. It should get interesting, I hope.
What that would be a nice thing.
You can win a 2018 Chevy Silverado. For details, listen to Steve Cochran weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago. If you're a smart speaker user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn.
Oh, I like that.
I do too. I would like to say Guten Tag, Wally, who's listening to us in Frankfurt, Germany.
Hey, well,
I took German in high school. That's as good as it gets. Guten Tag.
If your radio just went on and you're wondering, who the heck, what the heck?
I know, us too.
Well, she's Johnny Putman, and I would be Steve King. And for a long time, WGN Radio was our full-time home up until 2011.
For 27 years. I'm not kidding when somebody texted and said, oh, come on. No, 6,235 shows as of tonight.
Yeah.
That's a whole lot of words, people.
Yeah.
That is a lot of...
And a lot of scripts, because we script out
every
the show
word.
Very specifically.
Remember the year that someone actually contacted us and wanted to know if they could have a script to auction off for their charity? And we're like, script? They literally thought we sat down with a script and they wanted us to autograph it. And I thought, well, Steve, we could just take a piece of old commercial copy and sign it.
Do
and
that.
See what they can get out of that. And yeah.
Well, we're having fun tonight. We hope you are, too. We're just here till 1 o'clock, and then Nick DiGilio is going to slide in here. We are really digging the new studio. Do we miss the Tribune Tower? Absolutely. Did we have a wonderful time in the Tribune Tower? Yep, absolutely. But is this new place, 303 East Wacker, the 18th floor, this is just extraordinary.
Gorgeous. It really is.
And one of the people that made it as good as it is in here with us right now, Adam Phillips, who has been an engineer with WGN. How long have you been with the station?
12 years now.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, because we always saw you in the morning when you were coming in, and you've been over here since April 1st in these digs.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I remember when we talked with you, it was one night back in the Showcase studio last year, and you told us that they'd given you the responsibility of putting a lot of this together, and you were excited because you're one of the people that came up with the idea of this performance stage, mm-hmm. which is such a cool thing. You want to explain some of the stuff that you did here and some of the stuff that is yet to really be put online?
Boy, we have a lot to do still. We still got a whole other studio to build.
Bigger than this one, huh?
Yeah, bigger than the studio.
That's crazy.
Rooms will be bigger. It's going to be almost the exact same layout, but the room's physically bigger.
Because, mm-hmm. you know, in the old place, we would have people come in from L.A. and New York, and they'd walk in and go, oh! Yeah. This place is huge.
Studio A was big at the old place. Yeah, it was really big.
Yeah.
And very impressive with all that oak countertop. And
it was beautiful. For its day, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It's dated today.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was beautiful. I took that apart.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You put pictures up. It surprised me how emotional I got when I saw those pictures. Because how many nights did we sit there? And then all of a sudden, it was like not there anymore.
Yeah,
actually, it became the bathroom of Hoods and Howells
and
Hoods. Where I sat became the bathroom in there.
Well,
wow.
I'm not just blowing smoke, but am I overstating to say that this is probably the premier standalone AM facility right now that we're in the world.
In the world.
I would say so. This place is really cool. Really cool. And we're not done yet.
Yeah.
It's cool. I mean, it's state of the art. We have all the latest and greatest electronics. It's all digital.
That's why we're all learning stuff, because this is different than what we had
over
the
Turbine Tower. It's not the old analog system you had over at the tower over there. We can put any source up on the air from just about any position out of our couple hundred sources we have here on our blade system.
Now there,
but God bless you, you kept CD players. Thank you.
Yes,
thank you.
That's the first thing he looked for when we walked in. He said, "Phew, we got a CD player."
Now, if I can only get you to work on a turntable.
Remember back,
I have one in the back shop.
Cool.
Oh yeah, my gosh,
Technics 1200 back there.
Quick story: there's a radio station we're consulting down in Florida. When we were in there just a couple months ago, they now have a turntable in their main studio because vinyl is back.
And
vinyl
every morning on their morning show, they play a piece of vinyl. And they're like all excited, like they go into the music library and they pull out a piece of vinyl.
You
they blow up
library?
The dust.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what was fun, too, is they have this digital screen that's kind of a graph of the sound waves. And you could see how the vinyl sound wave was filling up more of this screen than the digital
sound
wave.
It's a true sine wave.
Yeah,
we'll have to show you that because that's pretty impressive.
Oh,
as big as this window here is, the way the graph readout is. And when you do vinyl versus digital.
Vigital.
It's not comparable.
Vigital.
I like that vigital. That works.
Yeah. It's a warmer sound, and it's a true sine wave.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? It's after midnight. I can say anything I want now.
Yeah.
This is like safe harbor. So
you can say vigil if you want to.
Right.
So what are some of the things you have to have? At this point, this is what we would call Studio D. This is one along with the newsroom and the traffic and sports huts. This is one of the only studios that is the air at this point.
Well, Studio B2 is also on the air right now. That's where we run all the White Sox games out of.
Okay.
So that one's on the air, but we don't really have much in there for like talent microphones to do a radio show like this out of. But it's going to be more to run the White Sox and the Bulls or the Blackhawks and Northwestern games out of, too. So that's going to be our sports studio.
What about the very cool performance studio? I don't know of any radio station that has that.
No,
that is
it's
so
not
cool.
Done yet, but it's really cool. We got a stage in there. It's probably 8 inches riser off the floor, big round stage in the room in there. It's going to have 16 analog inputs on the floor for the musicians to plug into. And it's going to have a second room as well, too, which is all soundproof. Both rooms are soundproof, so we can separate them to two separate rooms. We have a really nice Yamaha CL1 digital console.
And armless chairs
armless
so
chair.
Guitarists
guitar
can play.
Yes.
How many years do we have guitarists hanging on the side of
and
a
I'm
chair?
Running down the hallway looking for a chair.
Yes. Well, there were a couple times we actually brought in a stool from home, you know, just so the guitarist, because I thought, I will
if you
just,
don't work in music, they don't get it.
They don't get it,
You can't put a guitar up here.
And I was always scared to death that somebody like a Tommy Emmanuel was going to slip off the chair, get lost in their music, slip off the chair, and then, you know, break a back or something.
Right. But really, you were the perfect guy to be doing a lot of this, because one of the first times we met you were doing music for Katie Quick for the band
Yard Full of Cars.
So you have not only your hip to the technology, but you have the ear too.
My background comes from I'm a live sound engineer, and before I was in the radio doing radio, I was doing rock and roll touring concerts and stuff like that, so that's my niche, installation and whatnot. That has always been my niche. And then this has been a lot of fun, too, for the past 12 years doing this.
Now, do we actually have a television studio type setup here, too?
It's like a video studio.
A place where people do video?
We have a skyline shot of the city on the wall, a mirror on the wall, so you stand and get your little feet put on the floor. So you stand there in front of our HD cameras that we have here in the studios, and CLTV and WGN TV, they dial into our camera system here right now. They can put us live on the air on WGN TV or CLTV.
Can we tell what happened yesterday morning on CLTV?
Sure.
When they went live and they panned around.
We're in a residential neighborhood over here.
Yes. And there's some
residential on the 18th floor.
Well, there's some people that seem to enjoy the fact that they've got this bug light in the sky. They know that we're over here.
They know we're here.
And the camera panned around and
bang.
Right out of the shower.
Right out of the shower.
Standing right there in front of the window like, hello world.
Yes.
You know, it's all me.
It's every morning over there.
So that is one of the reasons why one of the cameras has been re-aimed.
Re-aimed. Yeah. The camera.
And for people who are wondering, no, not re-aimed to see more, but re-aimed so it won't pick that up.
We can't.
They're all sitting down going, signing on right now. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
They're ready to run to the gym right now.
Why did they tell us that before?
Yeah. Well, the news raise you go up tomorrow morning.
Well, we've been doing the show without pants for all these years. So it's about darn time that everybody else got on board with this.
What are you most excited about that is not online yet?
That's not online yet. Probably the performance space.
Okay.
Yeah, probably everything else is online yet. We have a lot of remotes to put online still, but probably the performance space is going to be really neat. To sit down and mix live music in there on the radio is going to be cool. Especially if you get the right act in there.
Yeah.
Like a blues act or a good guitar player. Sounds so good on an AM transmitter, especially our transmitter.
Yes. Yeah.
We have a good sound on our transmitter. Yeah. So I would love to get a good blues act in there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk.
Yeah. You know what? It's just going to be sitting there empty for a lot of hours. We could actually come in and do video of some performers.
Oh, yeah.
Which would be really cool and have content available.
It's gonna be...
And make it video podcasts.
Yeah.
The technology is here. We have the technology here.
Yeah.
Between the video, the audio, the digital circuits, the microphones, and
That's
the studio is going to be sponsored. I don't know if we can say yet who's going to be sponsoring the studio, but there's going to be it's going to be cool when you hear that.
Nice.
I'll tell you off the air.
Okay, sounds good. By the way, a listener at a 773 area code wants to know, Steve, did you bring your cart rack with you?
No, I did not. I did not bring that cart rack.
Do you remember?
Another CD cases.
Do you remember the homeless disc jockey cart that he had too?
I had more vinyl in that.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Dance crew would roll that out every morning.
Roll that huge cart out, and it had everything that was important to him right there, except for me. You know, I could have been sitting on the top, and you would have been happy. Well, Adam... Kudos to everybody.
Congratulations, Adam.
It's been fun.
You guys.
I started April 1st with a box of wire.
Literally.
There's nothing here.
And a building empty.
A building and a box of wire.
Amazing.
A bunch of wire cutters.
Well, I remember on some of your Facebook pages, some of the early pictures when you were just starting.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of wire and cables and things, do you want to share with the class, and then we will break voice in my ear, one of your pet peeves? About cables?
Wrapping cables?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't stand when cables aren't wrapped properly.
It's your pet peeve.
It is a pet peeve of mine. There's nothing worse than you open a cable up on a remote or a show or something like that, and it's a knotted mess.
Yeah.
Well,
don't they do that themselves, though, when you put them away neatly and they...
No.
When you're not watching, cables mate.
They do.
No, not mine. I can open up any of my road cases in the back.
And they're all neat. Okay.
Nice.
All right.
Perfectly. No.
Well, again.
Same with my extension cords in the garage.
Again.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their thing, right?
Yeah. The cords got to be wrapped properly. Have to be wrapped properly. This here drives me nuts.
It's a short drive, as your wife would say, right? Well, Adam, thank you for being with us tonight, because we said, could you kind of hang close until we got used to this setup here and where the buttons are. And I don't know.
It's a smooth operating system. Once you sit down, it's intimidating at first. When you look at all the lights and the buttons, it is scary. It's intimidating because it's new. But once you get into it, it's really user-friendly and simple to use.
Well, I will share part of the conversation off the air. I like this setup better than the old setup.
I do too.
It really is
too.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't miss Tribune Tower. I'm going to be the first one to admit it. I don't miss the place. It was dirty. It was old. I like this place.
And we said our goodbyes, right?
Yeah.
It was good while it lasted.
I have to go there on Monday, finish up over there Monday. And then that's it. I'm done.
Cool.
We're out.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully we'll have many, many years and many, many broadcasts. The collective here at 303 Wacker. Mm-hmm. And for the gentleman who said he'd finished milking cows and he was thinking about running down here to the radio station, no, don't, because you can't stand outside on the 18th floor anymore and watch us broadcasting. We'll take a quick break and we'll come right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Well, one of the things that we did for a long time, one of our regular features for many years we were at WGN Radio, was a radio road test. We have now segued from doing radio road tests to doing video road tests for Consumer Guide. And joining us now is the man who is the publisher of Consumer Guide, and that would be your Tom Appel. Hey, Tom, how you doing? Oops, wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
Okay, the second mistake.
The engineer walked away, and you broke it.
And there would be Tom.
Good evening.
Hi, Tom. Nice to talk to you.
You too.
So we were telling Tom on our way into the station tonight, oh, man, we cannot wait till you get in here. You are going to be giddy. Because Tom was one of the guys that we'd say, yeah, it's going to be car night. And he said, well, I'm driving down. I'm coming down to the radio station. Right, Tom?
Heck yeah.
And one of the things that we get to do when we review cars is we get to drive them. So Tom would come down and have to tell a security staff what car he was coming in on any given night, because it was always different. Same here. And so we thought we'd spend a few minutes with him. You hear Tom on with Nick DiGilio now, talking about cars, and we've had more fun with Tom over the years. And Consumer Guide's been great about saying, hey, if you guys want to keep doing your video road tests, we want to put them on our website.
And we love the videos.
Well,
thank you for the videos.
Thank you very much.
And along with Tom, we're proud members of an organization called MAMA. It's the Midwest Automotive Media Association. And we were introduced to MAMA by a guy who wrote for the Chicago Tribune for a long, long time. And unfortunately, he's no longer with us. Jim Mattea.
Yes.
And I remember the radio road test idea really went back to another radio station, and it was one of the Chicago auto shows, and Jim was going to be a guest, and we said, okay, what can we do to make this different? So I took a microphone, went with Jim, and we did basically a radio road test.
Theater of the mind.
That segued into when Johnny and I started doing what we now do, and Jim said, you know, nobody's doing a male-female counterpoint.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we may have been the first in the country to start doing a
male-female
counterpoint radio road test and segue to a video road test.
And it was real exciting because 25-plus years ago, Tom, you know that there weren't a whole lot of women giving feedback to the industry. And now there are so many women who are dictating what goes into a car, right?
Yeah, that number is huge. They now say, and this makes sense because a lot of couples buy cars together, but yeah, women influence 60 to 65% of all automotive purchases. So it just makes sense that women would talk about cars as much as they buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and when we started doing the radio road tests, if anyone had said to anybody in the automotive industry, you know, pretty soon you're going to have a woman heading General Motors.
Yeah.
People would have said,
no,
I don't think so. Pshaw.
Really?
Yeah, and Mary Barra, too, as the CEO of General Motors, has been incredibly successful. She was promoted to that position during the famous key interlock switch scandal. And I think a lot of people thought that maybe she was just nominated to that post to be the fall guy.
Mm-hmm.
But not only did she clear that hurdle, she has taken General Motors to record profits and impressive market share. And she's, by all accounts, doing a fabulous job.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Tom, we got a break. Can you hang with us for a couple minutes?
Absolutely.
All right.
Tom Appel, he is the publisher of Consumer Guide, and you can check out cgdailydrive.com, and you will see literally daily doses of a lot of cool automotive stuff, and you will also find our video road tests up there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's break. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. And I'm just imagining some people that are, they're half awake, half asleep, and they're thinking, what the, huh?
Well, like my dad. Yeah. He fell asleep last night and woke up to us talking with Patty and Andrea on the radio.
Yeah.
And then he went back to sleep. And then this morning he said, was I dreaming that you were on the radio? Or, and so, no, Dad, that was really us, you know, being silly. And this show is growing by so fast. This is the new Night Side.
Yeah.
It's a two-hour chunk of time between the Patty with Andrea show and the Nick DiGilio show. And it's kind of in flux because of White Sox baseball. And this is the first of the official pardon me, I'm air quoting, Nightside shows.
Welcome to Nightside, baby.
And Elton Jim will be here next week doing a Nightside. And who knows? Just watch the space and see what happens.
We're going to jump back to the man that we've been talking to about cars. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide, and you should check out cgdailydrive.com. He would be Tom Appel. And, Tom, we were talking to you a little bit earlier as we were driving in about the car that we're currently road testing.
Yeah.
And it's one of the new Toyotas. It is the Toyota
CHR.
And there's some dispute about what CHR actually stands for.
Have you heard about that dispute, Tom?
I have.
Is it
our guy Rick Cotta, who attended the launch event, claims that Toyota said that it stands for Coupe High Rider.
Right.
Which is interesting because does it look like a coupe? Yeah. But does it actually have four doors?
Yeah. Yes. Is it a high rider?
No,
really. But I actually like the name High Rider. I think it's much cooler than CHR, but that's just me. And it's in blue, and it matches my fingernails, which I think is awesome.
So what more do you need?
Right.
Nothing. You need nothing more.
Nothing more. Well, an outfit to match wouldn't hurt. But
I'll tell you some of our first thoughts on it. It's we're very impressed with the transmission. A lot of people had criticized the transmission. It's got a CVT, continuously variable transmission. We found it to be very smooth.
By the way, this is the XLE premium version, so it's two-tone paint. It's got a white top and a blue body.
Comfortable seats for the people in the front.
Yes.
And very quiet as you're driving it.
Very tight for the backseat people.
But one of the worst backup cameras in any vehicle, because the backup camera takes up half of your rearview mirror. So it is so tiny. Not only is it tiny, but the backup lines are incorrect. If we went by the backup lines,
yeah,
the way we had correctly parked, we were theoretically parking half up on the curb.
Yeah, yeah. Tom, tell us, you drive so many more cars than we have an opportunity to drive. This is not the way of the future, is it? Putting the backup camera in the rearview mirror.
I think this is the second or third application of this technology, and I honestly cannot recall the other vehicles that had it. But I think that for a while, this looked like this might be what was going to happen in the early days of this being required by law, the backup camera.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that since then, most people are incorporating it into the dashboard screen.
Which is brilliant.
So I don't really see this too much.
And this car already has a very nice big
screen, an 8-inch screen.
So why didn't they just do that? Also, while we're telling some of the negatives, this car has absolutely the worst C-pillar visibility, maybe of any vehicle we've ever tested. And for those of you that are saying, okay, C-pillar, what does that mean? It's basically the pillar that would separate the side rear window from the back window. And this thing, because of the configuration, tried to make this four-door look like a coupe. It is blocking so much of your visibility. It's just awful.
Yeah, interesting thing about this car, and I think it helps to explain a lot of why this car is so visually, we could say, compelling or controversial if we wanted to,
mm-hmm.
is that this car started life as an Acura. This was actually, the CHR was first seen at the 2015 Los Angeles Auto Show as an Acura concept. Scion, as a Scion concept. And it was meant to join the Scion lineup, which is a little bit more aggressive and more youth-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
But Scion was dissolved before this car came to market, and it ended up being absorbed by the Toyota lineup. So you had this vehicle that may or may not be unintentionally just an awkward fit in the Toyota lineup. And I think that helps to explain the styling, which I think is very aggressive, and the C-pillar situation, which I agree with you. And our guy, Rick Cotta, who first drove this car at a Toyota press event, is a problem. And I think that young drivers who get into this car might find it problematic.
Mm-hmm. What are you driving these days?
I am driving right now the Lexus RXL.
Ooh.
And the L, the Lexus RX is Lexus's midsize crossover. And it's been traditionally a five-passenger vehicle. The L is slightly longer and adds sort of an emergency third row seat. It's not adult friendly, but if you need the third row, this is Lexus's first foray into a seven passenger crossover. If you know what the RX is, or if you've driven it, this car is not very different. It just has the additional seating capacity, and it is limited. It's really for small kids. But that said, I've always liked the RX. It's not especially sporty, but it's an incredibly composed and refined crossover. It's excellent on the highway.
All-knowing Tom, tell me, I thought we were getting away from alphanumeric names and actually getting back to naming cars.
Because, for example, Lincoln is now about to replace the Lincoln MKX name with the Lincoln Nautilus.
Nautilus, right.
I love that name. And there were people who had jobs. That's all they did was come up with names of colors and names for cars. And then we got into the ABCs and the XYZs, and I hate it.
The American companies were trying to emulate the foreign brands.
Yeah, the European. Are we swinging back to names?
We are, and Lincoln's going to continue to do this. Right. I forgot what the name was, but Lincoln announced today that the MKC, which is their compact crossover and based on the Ford Escape, is also going to get a name when it's redesigned.
Oh, it gets a name. Oh, the baby gets a name.
Because in particular, Lincoln became so confusing. It was MK fill in the blank, and you didn't know what the heck it meant.
Was it X or C? And if you look closely,
I think, though, that this confusion extends to the Europeans now. There was a time where, especially in the 80s and still in the 90s, where these things were locked down. You knew what an S-Class was at Mercedes or an E-Class.
Yeah.
And at BMW, you knew what a 3, 5,
That's
or 7
true.
Series was.
Yeah.
And I think that now they have so many models and so many variations on those models that I think that the German makers are suffering from the exact same confusion.
Well, there is so much that we could talk about, but you are heard on the Nick DiGilio Show. And Nick, by the way, for people who are texting, Nick is not on vacation. This is not.
No, Nick's in here at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, there's an extra hour of Nick, so there's a good chance you'll even hear Tom earlier in the evening. And
that's exciting.
The next time you hear him, you may hear a giddy man, because when he gets into this studio, he's going to be out of his mind.
You are going to be blown away by this studio. It is so cool. The blatant plug light started flashing.
Yay!
So what's the latest on CG Daily Drive?
Okay, I did a crazy story on Tuesday about a car called the Cadillac Eldorado Evolution.
Hello?
The Evolution was a car modified by Pierre Cardin, only in 81 and 82. It is the craziest looking thing you've ever seen, and we've got pictures up on the CG Daily Drive blog right now.
Nice. Well, people can follow it, and you always have new content popping up there, and people can follow you guys on Facebook as well. Well, Tom, it's a pleasure, always a pleasure to talk to you. Last time we saw you was New Year's Eve when we were partying in the Showcase studio.
And as we told you, If things go the way we've
Rumor
been told they will, we should be in here for the next New Year's Eve, and you have to come down because we've been told that we will see the fireworks shooting up to us.
Steve, I think we'll probably be able to sell tickets if we're in here on New Year's Eve.
It's a date. It's a date.
All right, Tom. We'll see you soon. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Talk
bye-bye.
Later.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for being here. And again, check out CG Daily Drive. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN Radio. You may find yourself with Steve and Johnny back on the radio saying, what the?
What?
This has gone by so fast.
Crazy. We spent 10 times more time getting ready for tonight than we actually had here on the radio.
Yeah. But we want to thank a few people.
Yes.
First of all, Krista Flores. Who works in the engineering department here at WGN Radio. When we came down here Sunday night for our first run-through, Krista was nice enough to hold our hands in the studio and kind of show us how some of the things were working. And Adam Phillips, who you heard earlier, who was nice enough to ride shotgun and also go over a few things with us last night. And, of course, we have to thank the man who's been keeping us out of jail for the past couple hours.
Well, they're waiting outside for us. He just kept them at bay for the last 2 hours.
That. That would be our producer, Tom Hush. Tom, kudos. Job well done.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Good job to you guys, too.
Now, you typically work with Dean Richards and Amy Guth on the weekend, right?
Yep. That's my bag.
But that doesn't pay the bills.
It does not. I mean, it helps.
It's pocket change, right?
A little spending money here.
Right. Because you are full-time at another gig. And when I found out, I was so happy because I grew up going to the 400 movie theater, and that's where you hang your hat during the week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm there pretty much every weekday and a little bit on the weekends, too.
The new 400.
Yes, the new 400 theater over, I think, it's 6746 Sheridan Road in Rogers Park, just a few blocks north of Loyola University.
So that's right around our old neighborhood. We used to live in Rogers Park.
Yeah.
And blatant plug, what's showing right now?
Currently, we will be showing Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Oh, we want to see that.
Yeah, it's going to premiere, I guess, technically tonight, Thursday night, and they'll be showing it regularly. Got The Incredibles 2, sequel that people have been waiting 14, 15 years for.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And unfortunately, we're going to be losing one of my favorite movies I've seen so far, Hereditary.
You like that,
Now, that's interesting.
Because you and Nick is goofy over it, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Nick has impeccable taste. I think he and I have a lot in common in movies, but...
Well, I see movies based on what Nick says. I actually do. And because I really do... We've watched him grow and develop as a critic, and I really do respect his opinion.
Now this is going to sound like heresy.
Yeah. Mm.
We were telling you off the air that my brother Lee is passionate about movies. And he saw Hereditary.
Well, actually, he did it as a favor to me.
He was the canary in the coal mine.
I said, please go see it for me, because you know me. Will I be really scared? And he called that night. I thought he was going to call saying, you've got to come to the house and spend the night with me, because I'm scared to death in the house. And he said, I was actually bored.
He said he almost dozed off, except for about the past 15 minutes.
The last 15 minutes kept his interest and was scary, and he watched it through his fingers. Mm. He said, but nobody got up and bolted from the theater like some critics had said, and nobody was talking back to the screen, and I was shocked.
Yeah, I think, watching people leave that movie at the 400, it was 50-50 usually. Some people were terrified, some people really found it slow, nothing really happening that they found that scary. I guess it just
did anybody
depends.
Get up and leave? Like
we did have a few.
Really,
we did have a few people, both out of boredom and out of pure terror. So really, it was
both
strange.
Ends of the spectrum,
right? Personally, I watch. You know, we get to watch movies for free usually after we close. So me and one of my coworkers watched it in the middle of the night, probably about 1-2 in the morning, by ourselves in this 100-year-old theater.
You're nuts.
And
we
were
to go home alone.
Oh, I'll tell you, turning off the projector that night, it was a mad dash down the stairs.
Oh,
just sprinting. But, you know, it's really not for everybody. I wouldn't recommend it to people every viewing.
One of the problems your brother had was the 6-year-old child that was sitting in front of him. That bothered him in the movie because he kept thinking.
Anybody would bring a 6-year-old child to that kind of. That makes
the
no
content
sense.
Of that film is definitely not for the kids.
And you're thinking, well, 6 years old, they don't understand what's going on.
No.
You don't know that.
Yeah.
You don't know that they're not being scarred for life.
Exactly.
It could be a form of child abuse.
I mean, not to be too graphic, but there were images in that movie that I wish I could erase from my eyeballs.
I still all these years later, I feel that way about The Exorcist. There are images
still.
That I just want to just purge them from my memory because they still freak me out so much. And the only time I've actually physically tried to hurt another human being was when I was sitting next to a guy and he turned on me and he did the voice from The Exorcist and I hauled off and with a fist I just laid him out and I was like, whoa. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
But he deserved it.
Yeah. Well, don't mess with The Exorcist.
Speaking of movies, the blatant plug light just started flashing again, and we were telling you this off the air. You would love my brother Lee's book. The book is called Safe Inside, Blatant Plug. It is available through Eckhart's Press, and you can also go to Nick's site, and you can click on the review or the interview that Nick did with Lee. It's a long story short. It's a book about a kid growing up in South Side of Chicago, late 40s, 50s, Catholic kid at a time when sexuality and divorce and things like that were not really
talked about,
and how he found solace in movie theaters. And there is graphic depiction of movie theaters in Chicago. And it's not just because he's my brother, but Safe Inside is a wonderful book. You should
really
read it.
Is.
And it just became available as an ebook within the past week or so.
Too. Oh, that's right. It sure did.
And speaking of movies, and lo and behold, hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. Your brother's book's amazing.
Thank you.
It is.
You're even saying that after he said he was bored in Hereditary? Can you believe that?
You were bored during Hereditary?
No. Lee was.
Lee was?
Yes. Yeah. He went for me because I called him and I said, look, you know me.
Well, it's a divisive movie, as you guys were just discussing, because, you know, it's split right down the middle. Some people are just like.
But if you like it, you love it.
It scared the hell out of me. I'm telling you, I've seen it twice, and
you love scary movies.
It's my favorite genre. Yeah. This is the best horror movie. I think it's the best horror movie in maybe 30 years, and it is.
What would be the one prior to this?
Dead Ringers, perhaps.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, that was fun.
But this was no. This is the real deal, man. I don't. You know, people who aren't frightened by this movie or think it's boring, I don't understand them.
And I
love Lee. I do, but I don't get it at all. It's an astonishingly significant movie that burrows under your skin. I mean, this is the kind of movie that you don't forget. I thought about it for days after I saw it.
You know, in all fairness, Lee does live in a very old three-story house. Maybe this is some kind of protection that he needs to keep telling himself that he didn't like it.
It didn't scare me. It didn't scare me at all.
I'll tell you what. If Toni Collette doesn't get nominated for an Academy Award for this, it's the best performance I've seen all year. It is an astonishing performance.
Every trailer I see her
It's exhausting to watch her in that movie. Like when it's over, you're like, oh my God. I mean, and it's funny because like she did the talk show circuit, obviously.
Yeah.
And she talked about the movie and they're all like, must have been really, you know, really, really hard. And he's like, and she's like, no, I mean, you know, I can turn it off. And it was, you know, it was actually a fun set. It was like, that was a fun set.
But again, that may be how you deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, look, I saw it twice. The audiences that I saw it with both times were freaked out. I mean, they were just like, people, when it was over, people were like, what the hell was that? It's my favorite film of the year so far. I think it's great.
We were talking with our producer, Tom, about the 400. Do you remember going to the 400?
Yeah.
I'm so excited that, that theater was built.
We're going to go up there.
Like 1912, it opened.
Yeah. And it's a great place to see a movie, especially on the cheap.
Yeah.
You know, they show first run movies and it's less than going to like AMC.
You're absolutely right. And you can buy your tickets ahead and they have a bar and it's like, you know, a full night out kind of thing.
Well, speaking of a full night out, we have just run out of time.
We're
a little bit behind. I want to leave you with two things.
Okay.
One is each week you do a segment where people call in for requests.
Each night. Yeah, we have a different theme each night. Tonight is Triple Play Thursday.
Okay. Ooh. I have one request.
Okay.
And I don't know who does it. The song is called Rubber Biscuits.
Well, I know the Blues Brothers covered it.
But no, this is the original.
The original
Rubber
Biscuit?
You've got to go back to the original.
Okay. I can't remember who did it. I just know. I knew it was a cover that the Blues Brothers did.
And the other thing, and I know we have one break to do, so I'll make this very quick. Are we wrong, or are the three of us three of the only five on-air people, the other ones being Orion and Max, who have worked Bradley Place, Tribune Tower, and now...
I think you're right.
Old.
I can't think of anybody else.
I can't think of anybody else.
The five of us.
Yeah. Was Dave in it? Was he? Did he?
Not at
did
Bradley.
He work at Bradley?
Not at Bradley.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. Then I think it's just the five of us. Oh,
so
my
we know where the bodies are buried.
I don't know what that says.
What's insane is that like I have second seniority under Orion.
Yeah. I know.
How does that happen?
But you have an office and he doesn't.
I know. Well, there you go. That's right. It only took 33 years for me to get an office, by the way. 33 years and a walk of fame. That's what it took to get the thing.
We have to shut up and get out of here. Thank you, guys.
This was fun. Thanks a bunch. Nick's up next.